Our scripture tonight will come from John chapter 13, verses 12 through 17. John 13, verses 12 through 17. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them."
Isn't this great to be able to worship God in this grand cathedral, the cathedral of his creation, with a little extras by man, but wow, perfect weather. What happened last week? I leave for a day and wow, but we're glad tonight that the elements have cooperated and that we are able to get out here and worship together. It is so good to see all of you that are here. Hope you can hear. Wave at me if you can hear, if you're in a car or far away. Okay, very good, very good. Seems like it's working. Just so happy to be here. I've always wanted to be an outstanding preacher, and tonight I think I've accomplished that. Whatever I say, I'm still outstanding. But we're so glad you're with us. I want to note just one person in particular that is able to join us tonight, and that's Karen Stevens, who is sitting over here in the black car back behind Huston there. Everybody wave at Karen. She's been through a hard battle and still got a battle going on, but we are so thankful God has heard our prayers for Karen, and we're going to keep on praying. And all of you, we're just really happy that you are here. Others of you are not have not joined us yet for in-person worship inside. We understand that, and again, we don't want to guilt anybody into thinking they have to come. You do what you know is best for you, and we trust that will be the right thing. But we're here to worship God. I hope you got your Bible and that it is open to John chapter 13. There will be a few other places we'll go, but the main focus of our lesson tonight is John 13. We've been in John's Gospel for most of the year on Sunday nights, and two or three weeks ago, I asked the elders, have I overdone this? Is it time to move on to a different study? And all that I heard was, this is a good study, so we're going to continue it then, and I think we will finish it by the end of the year, but John 13 is going to be our focus tonight. If our children... Was that a signal to me to stop, or it won't work? If our children were to ask me, did our mother love us when we were young? I mean, if for some reason they asked me, you know, what can we look at and know that our mother loved us? One word would come to mind, and that word would be diapers. Diapers would be proof that she loved her children. That's one of the less glamorous parts of being a parent, and yet it is a necessary part of being a parent. And in the case of our three children, the first two were in cloth diapers, and so she really deserves a gold medal for her efforts. And but that's the idea. You show your love by things that are just, you know, things that other people might not even think about doing. Well, John 13 kind of gives us that idea as well. John 13 marks a turning point in the Gospel of John. The first 12 chapters have noted especially some of the signs that Jesus did, the miraculous deeds that he did, and that proved that he is who he says he was. But now, beginning in chapter 13, we're down to the last very few hours before Jesus is taken to the cross. And Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples, his apostles particularly. He's trying to prepare them for what lies ahead. And so in chapters 13 through 17, you have what you might call a farewell discourse. Now, it wasn't his final farewell. That would come after the resurrection. But there's a lot of things he will say in chapters 13 through 17 that will help them be ready for what lies ahead. But before we get into the spoken part, there is the visual. There is an object lesson, we might say. It's something that will just shake them up. They would never expect this. And the memory of it is with them, you know, forever. And we still think of it as one of the most striking scenes of Jesus' ministry. So with that in mind, let's start talking about this incident in John chapter 13, and that is the washing of the apostles' feet. Now, first of all, let's talk about the shocking scene of the rabbi washing feet. How shocking it was for the rabbi to wash feet. Now, washing feet, as you probably know, was a very common custom in that day and time. The first time we read about feet, human feet, that is, in the Bible, is in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 4. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 4. And you remember how Abraham was sitting at his tent one day, and here come three strangers. He doesn't know these men, but being the hospitable fellow that he is, he invites them to stay. And here's part of what he says in Genesis 18 and verse 4. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And for us, that sounds very odd. I mean, when's the last time you ask a guest at your house to sit down and let you bring them some water to wash their feet? You may have thought they needed to, but you've probably never done that. What's going on? Well, here's what Craig Keener says in his New Testament background commentary. He said, after travelers had come a long distance, the host was to provide water for their feet as a sign of hospitality, as exemplified by Abraham. Yet, loosing sandals and personally washing someone else's feet was considered servile, meaning that's something a slave does. It was considered servile, most commonly the work of a servant or of servile or submissive persons. And so it is a custom, it was necessary. And if you can imagine walking in a dusty territory with only sandals, no socks, and this has been your manner of transportation forever, your feet are going to be pretty dirty, pretty dusty, maybe a little bit smelly too. And so when you come into the house, this is something that is offered to you, and that's what we're seeing here. But in the incident with Abraham, did you notice? Abraham did not say, let me do this for you. He said, let a little water be brought so that you may wash your feet. But with Jesus, let's look at John 13. Jesus does just that. He begins washing their feet for them. And we'll actually read that part of John 13 in a minute. But I want you to notice Peter's reaction. In verse 6, for example, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And you might say, well, wasn't Peter very observant? Well, it's not that. He knows what Jesus is about to do. He's saying, in effect, really? Lord, you're going to do this? I don't get it, Lord. And then go down to verse 8. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And again, it's Peter's way of saying, this is not befitting of a rabbi. This is a slave's work. What are you doing, Lord? And yet Jesus says, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part of me. And so eventually Peter relents, and he does. But this was a shocking scene, and one that just jolted everybody that was present. So the question is, why did he do it? Why did Jesus wash their feet? And John actually gives us answers to that question. I have found three answers that I want to share with you now, and they all apply to us as well. So let's think about it in that vein. Why did Jesus wash their feet? Well, number one, to show his love for his disciples. He washed their feet to show his love for his disciples. John chapter 13 and verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to be to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Love is connected with this event. Why did John put that there? Was there a connection? And I think obviously there was. And so the idea of love, in fact, Merrill Tenney, in his commentary on John, the Gospel of Belief, it is entitled, writes this. The meaning can be made clear by a paraphrase of verse 1. Jesus, because he loved his own that were in the world, made one final demonstration of that love. Now, that is a paraphrase. It's not exactly the way the Greek reads, but that could well be the interpretation. But then Tenney goes on to say, the historic scene that followed was a dramatic exposition of the greatness of Christ's love for the disciples. It was a preview of the meaning of the cross in which the essential elements of the divine love for man were all represented. So to give them a preview of the greatest act of love ever known to man, Jesus washes their feet. Love was one of the reasons why Jesus washed their feet. In verses 4 and 5, now let's see exactly what it was that Jesus did. They're reclining at a table. They are partaking of the Passover meal. And we read this, Jesus rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. In other words, everything that you saw reminded you of a slave. This is what a slave would do. Jesus wasn't wearing the normal garb of a guest at a Passover meal. He took that off. And then he took upon him the towel. And that was typical of a slave that was washing feet. And Jesus began one by one going from this apostle to the next. And you can imagine how quiet it was in the room, how shocked everyone was. I mean, it was just amazing. Now, look at verse 7. Jesus answered, and this is right after Peter says, Lord, are you washing my feet? What are you doing? Jesus answered him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward, you will understand. Now, what does he mean by afterward? And I think obviously he's talking there about the cross. The cross was only hours away. This was the night in which Jesus would go to the garden afterwards. They would come and arrest him, and they would try him during the night, and the next morning he'd go to Pilate, and then later in the day be taken to the cross. And so then they would begin to see, oh, that's why he did it. Because taking off his garments was kind of like taking off his divinity for a time and being mortal so that he would die upon the cross. And in doing that, he was doing what was distasteful to anybody else, dying on a cross. And yet you see that was indicated by washing their feet. So one reason Jesus washed their feet was to show his love. And there would be a greater demonstration yet to come. But here's a second reason why Jesus washed their feet, also found in John 13. And that is to prepare his disciples for leadership, to help them make the transition from the time that he was with them to the time that they would be on their own. Look again at chapter 13 and verse 1, John 13 and verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, Jesus knew the time had come, he was leaving. They would be on their own. He would not be there anymore. He had been their leader. They had looked to him. He had answered their questions. He had taught them, here's what we're going to do. Here's where we're going to go. Now, they would have to assume that mantle. Now, keep in mind also, they've been struggling with this issue. Less than a week earlier, Matthew tells us, if you want to look at Matthew chapter 20 and verse 24, less than a week before this event, here's what we find in Matthew 20, verse 24. And this is when the mother of James and John comes up to Jesus and says, I got a favor to ask. Okay, what is it? Let my sons be on your right hand and on your left hand when you come into your kingdom. In other words, put them in power. give them the choice places of power and honor. And Jesus said, that's not mine to give. You don't know what you're asking. But notice the reaction of the other apostles. Matthew chapter 20, verse 24. When the 10 heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. They weren't happy. We wouldn't have been either, I guess, if that had been us. You know, we would have said, well, what are you trying to do? Sneak in on us? Are you trying to slip in and take the best positions of power? And it was all about who's going to take over. And then in Luke chapter 22, Luke 22, verse 24, we're talking about the same meal as John 13. And yet listen to what's going on. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. We got a problem here. Jesus is about to leave, and we're still fighting over who's going to be the greatest. So in order to try to show them a better way, Jesus washes their feet. Look at verse 2 of John chapter 13 now. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And there's another complicating factor. Judas is going to betray Jesus. The other disciples didn't know that. When Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, they looked around, who's he talking about? They had no idea it was Judas. And now, after Judas does what he does, do you think there's a chance they might be suspicious of everybody else? I mean, Judas did it. What are you thinking? What's in your heart? And so to show them a better way, Jesus washed their feet. Let's go down to verses 12 through 15 of John 13. John 13, verses 12 through 15. And now we're looking at what Jesus says after he has done the amazing thing that he did. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. What a powerful lesson. Much more powerful than words alone. I mean, Jesus had used words before, but by doing this, by humbling himself to wash their feet, he was showing them it's not about power. It's about serving one another. So get this idea out of your head that this is going to be about me being in charge and I'm leading the way. No, we're going to be serving. That's what I'm calling you to do. And if Jesus was willing to become a servant, then his followers must do the same. It's just like we sing sometimes, Lord, make me a servant. Make me like you. And if that's really our prayer, it doesn't matter who's making decisions or calling the shots, because we are serving together. We're serving God. And then here's this third reason that I find in John why Jesus washed their feet, and that is because he knew who he was. And you may find that an odd reason, but stay with me for a minute. Look at John 13, verse 3. John said, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, and that's when he rose from supper. In other words, John made the connection again. He said Jesus knew who he was. He didn't think of himself as a, you know, just a lowly slave, somebody of no worth. He knew better than that. He knew he was from heaven. He knew he was going back to heaven. And yet, in spite of all that, he knew he came to serve. And that's what makes it so astonishing. Jesus did what was unlikely, and it made it even more impressive that he did it because of those things. Now, look at verses 16 and 17. John 13, 16 and 17, and notice what Jesus goes on to say. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Blessed are you if you do them. And the idea is, I'm your Lord, I'm your master, but I did these things for you. And no matter who you are, no matter what place you may hold in society, I'm calling you to serve. And if you will serve with the spirit of humility, you'll be blessed. Now, if you're putting on, if it is just an act, you really hate the idea of serving people, but hey, that's what they want me to do, I guess I'll do it, you're going to be miserable. But if you truly have the spirit of humility, humble enough to wash feet, you'll be blessed, you'll be happy, you'll be joyful at the opportunity to wash feet. And that's what we're called to do as followers of Christ, even though it may not actually be the idea of washing somebody's feet, yet it's the idea of serving even the most humble deeds. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10. Here Paul is talking about widows and the ones that the church should support financially if need be. And he gives some criteria. Here are the kinds of women that you need to look at. And listen to what he says. These will have a reputation for good works. If she has grown up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, has devoted herself to every good work. I find it interesting that twice in that one verse, Paul mentions good works. And then right in the middle of that, she has washed the feet of the saints. Did that mean literally she had washed their feet? Well, probably in that day and time she had. But that's not necessarily what Paul meant. It was the idea that she humbled herself to do whatever needed to be done, to change diapers, you know, to do whatever, to wash dishes, to empty the chamber pot, or whatever it might be. She was willing to humble herself to do what needed to be done. Titus chapter 2, verse 14 broadens the principle. It's not just widows that are called to show this kind of attitude. Here's how Paul put it in Titus 2 and verse 14. Jesus, who gave himself for us, and why? To redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. People who are zealous for good works. And that means that we want to be like Jesus. We want to be made servants. And yeah, we know it will sometimes be work that is distasteful. We may smell smelly feet. But this is Jesus we're following. And there is no service too lowly for us. Do we know who we are? We're not just Christians. We are Christians, but we are his servants, always standing by, ready to do what needs to be done. We must do what the Lord calls us to do. Instead of focusing on the feet of Jesus, we want to focus on the footprints of Jesus. And you know the song, I'm sure, that we sometimes sing about the footprints of Jesus. Listen to some of the words. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. But where will they go? That's the question. And one verse says, if they lead through the temple holy, preaching the word, yeah, that's where people will see us. And they'll come out and say, good sermon, preacher. But also in homes of the poor and lowly, serving the Lord. People may not see us doing that. We may not get the acclaim that we would get in the temple. But it doesn't matter, because we're walking in the footprints of Jesus. We're going to follow him wherever he goes. What an amazing Savior we have. One who humbled himself so low that he would wash feet. And let's hear him one more time in verse 17. Now that we've thought about this lesson, now that maybe we grasp the concept a little better than before, Jesus says again, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. It's not just knowing the lesson, it's doing the lesson. Are you following Jesus? Are you a Christian? And if you've not yet obeyed the gospel plan of salvation, it's a simple matter. If you've heard the gospel and you have come to the point of saying, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ. And if you're ready to repent of your sins and turn away from them, if you're ready to confess Him before others and to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, then why not tonight? We'll go inside the building. We'll do what needs to be done. We'll rejoice over your decision. And those of you who are watching, if that's your need, we hope that you'll make that decision as well. If you're in town, come on down. We'll be glad to wait for you. If you're somewhere else, let us know. We'll help make the arrangements. And if you need to repent as a Christian who has erred from the way, if you need to confess sin and ask for prayers to be forgiven, then let's do that tonight as well. You'll see email addresses on your screen, I trust. And just email one of those and say, I want to ask for the prayers of the church. I want to repent of my sins and pray for God's forgiveness, and we'll do that with you. But whatever your need, we want to help you. So make your decision as we sing.